I've been stuck in a rut, been feeling like giving up. The pressure's driving.
And we're back. And I think that was Danielle Krim again, which is wonderful. Yeah, so we're back with Fred and Wes, and we've been talking a lot about 350. Yeah, 350 does so much. Are there any projects that you kind of want to like shout out and talk about?
Yeah, I'll take this one. So as a biologist, I love hearing about non-biology things because it kind of gets me out of the rut, right? And one of the cooler projects that I've seen is with our beneficial electrification team led by Barb Ryan. And they're doing this big project on trying to give knowledge and cascade on heat pumps, which is something I had like no idea about before 350. But heat pumps are a really great solution to the high cost of heating and air conditioning in our houses and industrial buildings. And so just learning about, you know, what they're doing to try and spread awareness of heat pumps. And it goes back to what you're saying about the monetary benefits. It actually helps with our finances. So stuff like that is stuff that I'm excited about too.
Yeah.
Fred?
Well, that was a real eye-opener, too, about heat pumps and hearing Susan Millar's segment on how she's virtually off the grid. That is the type of stuff that I really, really think is cool.
And in Madison, too. Madison. Off the grid in Madison.
Yeah, yes.
Being able to make that change in an urban environment.
And a cold environment.
It is cold. Yeah.
That's always the question that a lot of people have is how can you have a heat pump when it gets down this cold?
And it gets warm.
And there are solutions.
Yeah, for sure. I know that we're kind of here to talk about the Citizen Science Project, though, too. And I kind of want to talk a little bit about how it relates to the class, because I know at this point some of our listeners maybe know kind of like what's going on in our class. But yeah, so we have been kind of working over the past like 6 months maybe to design a citizen science project with the community gardens where we test the soil with these soil amendments such as biochar and other amendments that students are, you know, we have an apprentice working on this and who we're going to meet soon. But yeah, and I was just wondering like what you think the impact is for students and kind of just in general.
I mean, I'll speak. So the thing I've been most impressed about is just how driven students are to Health Earth. I mean, you are inheriting it after we do. And I got to tell a story to embarrass, you know what I mean? So
oh dear.
At one of the gardens we went to, it was middle of January and it was freezing cold out. And me, who's not used to being out in the field, brought a pen to write with. And of course the pen didn't work. It was cold. And you were prepared. You had a pencil. And I remember thinking like, thank God this generation is here to save our butts. And doing studies like this, you know, training people, training the students, the next generation, getting their hands dirty, you know, trying to teach them in the concepts, the core concepts, so that they can use their creativity in ways that we never thought of. That's what we have to do and just keep that alive. And and so I think this is a good example of a project just driving creativity with students.
Yeah, and I think that's really what this project is about too, is connecting to people who have that experience and that they can work with them. And but I was also wondering kind of like with the Citizen Science Project, what you see like is going to be kind of like the tangible measurements that we are working on and the questions that we're trying to answer.
Yeah, I think I could take that one.
Awesome.
A lot of this study is going to be on biochar. Now that's, the science behind that is a little murky. And it is one of those things that is written in the Dane County Climate Action Plan for an agricultural practice.
Yeah.
And so that is something we can definitely, well, I'm pretty sure we can measure, we can see, we can measure its benefits over the course of a growing season from the various indicators we're looking at, the microbial populations, the carbon-nitrogen ratios, things like that that are indicative of microbes doing their job and incorporating this organic matter.
Yeah.
And we're going to compare biochar plots with just maybe a conventionally fertilized plot and maybe one that's more organic fertilizer used. Just you'll gather data to make a comparison.
And Frank, can you talk a little bit about what biochar actually
that's
is?
That's what I was wondering.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's important to know what it is.
Kind of missed that one. To make it simple, I'd say think charcoal. It's okay. Really produced similarly to charcoal. Biochar is can use any bio feedstock.
Okay.
And it's black carbon is really what it is. And there's a story about how biochar, well, is related to terra preta soils from the Amazon, which resulted from campfires in the old, you know.
Okay.
And yeah. And there's a claim that's made that this is a good soil amendment. It improves the quality of the soil. And on the other hand, I actually spoke with a researcher from the ARS when I was still in the Forest Service.
Mm-hmm.
And he said in their plots up in Minnesota,
yeah,
that they all they could measure was that it made the, you know, soil black. So, you know, there's two schools on this. And
yeah.
I think that's something we can measure. And
that's really cool.
And I think importantly, it's a way to capture carbon. So you're not combusting waste. It's sequestering.
Yeah.
So not only is it useful as a fertilizer, but we're actually capturing carbon, which is an important concept. You know, going back to 350 is that level of where
and
a safe. We're way over
it.
I just looked this morning. We're at about 417.
Ooh.
Not great.
No.
But we need to look for ways to actually capture the carbon and bring it back down to the soil. So that's where things like biochar and agriculture, regenerative agriculture, are really important concepts that we need to leverage.
And I can't believe it's almost the end of the show.
That's
but
crazy.
It is. But I know we were talking about like Dane County and the climate action plan, and there's an election coming up.
Yes.
What can you say a few words about the election and why that's important? It's my first time voting, so I'm very excited.
that's awesome. I mean, one of the key things that I've learned with 350 is that we have the science to do to help with climate right now. We have the science, technology, we have it, but it's people's perception. It's the legal aspect that I think needs the most work. So make sure to be educated and go out and vote.
Yep, and we had that link from last week from the Wisconsin Conservation Voters, and we'll put that link in everywhere that we can. Again, it's 350.org if you're interested in 350 Madison. And I think that's the end of the show. Thank you both for being wonderful guests, to Aiden Dalby for letting us use his music tonight. And yeah, this was Noemi, and that's the sauce.
Here comes the sun. Here comes